The Sure Foundation Baptist Church, everybody please grab a seat and grab a hymn book. First song we're going to be singing is song 351, Tell It to Jesus. Song 351 in your hymn books. 351 on the first. Are you weary? Are you heavy hearted? Tell it to Jesus. Tell it to Jesus. Are you grieving over joys departed? Tell it to Jesus alone. Tell it to Jesus. Tell it to Jesus. He is a friend that's well known. You've no other such a friend or brother. Tell it to Jesus alone. Do the tears flow down your cheeks unbidden? Tell it to Jesus. Tell it to Jesus. Have you sins that to men's eyes are hidden? Tell it to Jesus alone. Tell it to Jesus. Tell it to Jesus. He is a friend that's well known. You've no other such a friend or brother. Tell it to Jesus alone. Do you fear the gathering clouds of sorrow? Tell it to Jesus. Tell it to Jesus. Are you anxious what shall be tomorrow? Tell it to Jesus alone. Tell it to Jesus. Tell it to Jesus. He is a friend that's well known. You've no other such a friend or brother. Tell it to Jesus alone. Are you troubled at the thought of dying? Tell it to Jesus. Tell it to Jesus. For Christ's coming kingdom are you sighing? Tell it to Jesus alone. Tell it to Jesus. Tell it to Jesus. He is a friend that's well known. You've no other such a friend or brother. Tell it to Jesus alone. All right, everybody, great singing. Brother Brad, can you please open us up with a word of prayer? Amen. All right, next song is going to be song 260, He is Able to Deliver Thee. Song 260 in your hymn books. 260 on the first. Tis the grandest theme through the ages rung. Tis the grandest theme to the mortal tongue. Tis the grandest theme that the world hears sung. Our God is able to deliver thee. He is able to deliver thee. He is able to deliver thee. Though by sin oppressed, go to him for rest. Our God is able to deliver thee. 'Tis the grandest theme in the earth for men. 'Tis the grandest theme for a mortal strain. 'Tis the grandest theme, tell the world again. Our God is able to deliver thee. He is able to deliver thee. He is able to deliver thee. Though by sin oppressed, go to him for rest. Our God is able to deliver thee. 'Tis the grandest theme, let the tidings roll to the guilty heart, to the sinful soul. look to God in faith, he will make thee whole. Our God is able to deliver thee. He is able to deliver thee. He is able to deliver thee. Though by sin oppressed, go to him for rest. Our God is able to deliver thee. All right, awesome. Now for some announcements.
All right, welcome to Shield Foundation Baptist Church Sunday morning service. If you need a bulletin, please raise your hand and an usher will bring one to you. The verse of the week is 1 Corinthians 13, verse number 6. The Bible says, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. And as Christians, we should desire truth. We should not desire lies. Amen. So let's look at the inside page. There's a message from Pastor Thompson. He's the pastor. I'm the evangelist and the location leader. We are on YouTube, Facebook, Rumble, and X. So please give us a follow if you haven't done so. We have service time Sunday morning at 11, Sunday afternoon service at 4, and Wednesday night Bible study at 7 p.m. This Wednesday will be in Acts chapter number 4. Really, that's really the first persecution happening to the early New Testament church, which is in Jerusalem. So please join us on Wednesday night. We have someone in this afternoon at 1:30 and Saturday morning at 10:30 a.m. And then the praise report is for you to see. And we've done a good job on the salvations this year. We have already, exceeded 400 salvations. So let's work on our baptism. Just talk to your converts and tell them we have a bubble bath baptistry, and hopefully we can see more people baptized this year. Upcoming events this afternoon, right after the afternoon service, we'll have a baby shower for the Stockton family, and it will be a fun time. There are some games that I hope you guys will all participate. Especially the men. Okay, so just the men need to play some of the games. So this afternoon we'll have refreshment. I know I'm picking up a cake this afternoon, but I have no idea what other desserts are there. But there will be games, cake, stuff like that, or something. Also, the baby registry is posted on the soul winning group, so please buy them stuff if you haven't done so. I may ask for a list. No, I'm just kidding. That will take place today. Also, next Sunday, we'll meet at a different location due to the Indy 500 race, traffic, rental restrictions, so on and so forth. I have the address on the bulletin. I also posted something on the soul winning group. I will post that again this week. We'll have morning service at 11 as usual, and then we're going to go to a pizza place right by the conference room for lunch, and then we're going to go soul winning. There will be no afternoon service for that day, so please let me know if you have any questions about that. And then the next soul winning event is this coming Saturday. We'll have an Indy 500 soul winning marathon. If you scan the QR code, it will bring you to the God Resource website for more details about the meetup locations, time, whatever. But we'll be meeting here at, 9:30-ish. So we'll meet here at the church building, and then we'll shuttle you guys to the racetrack because of the parking situation. So who's planning on going to the Indy 500? Raise your hand. How many people? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Something like that. All right. So we will figure out the van situation. Brother Brad, are you bringing your van?
That's the plan.
Okay, so we'll have at least two vans. So that should be enough to shuttle you guys down there. Also, May 30th is the Gary Sony Marathon. I have, upload the schedule on God Resource, but it hasn't been approved yet, being published yet. But we'll pretty much stick with the April Gary schedule. Pretty much that's the same schedule. And then Chicago State is on June 8th. That's a Monday. We'll be going to this college to do some soul winning. And then June 27th is the St. Louis soul winning marathon. Again, the event detail is on godresource.com. It's hosted by Straight Path Baptist Church in St. Louis. This event is not hosted by us, but we'll be going there just to support them. The main soul winning is taking place on Saturday. So, and then We'll have a men's preaching night on May 31st, so that's two Sundays from now. So any man, you know, who wants to preach a 10-minute sermon, you can preach that. Just make sure you're letting me know you are preaching, also your sermon topic. And if you have never preached any sermon, that's a good time for you to practice, and that's why we have men's preaching night. It's for you to, you know, potentially mess up and just improve, okay? Just make sure you're not preaching any heresy. But, yeah, so there's that. That's May 31st. And tithe and offering is for you to see. On the back, you can see the birthdays and the anniversaries coming up this month. We will be seeing happy birthday to Zayden this afternoon. So there's that. All right, let's sing one more song, and then we'll take up the offering.
All right, next song is going to be song 143, Blessed Assurance. Song 143 in your hymn books. Song 143. On the first. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of his spirit, washed in his blood. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, perfect delight, visions of rapture now burst on my sight. Angels descending bring from above echoes of mercy, whispers of love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, all is at rest. I and my Savior am happy and blessed. Watching and waiting, looking above, filled with his goodness, lost in his love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. All right, everybody, great singing. Now can we have the ushers come up to do offering? All right, Brother Stephen, can you please pray for the offering?
Praise the Father, Lord, thank you, Lord, for everyone in your safe way this morning at church. Just pray God, you bless the tithes and offering, Lord, be used to further the gospel in your kingdom. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray.
Amen. Amen.
right. We'll be in Exodus chapter 20 this morning. Exodus chapter 20. If anyone needs a Bible, just raise your hand and Usher will give one to you. Exodus chapter 20. The whole chapter will be read. Exodus chapter 20, the Bible reads, "And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which hath brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I am the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fatherless upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day, and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, and thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. And all the people saw the thunderings and the lightnings and the noise of the trumpet and the mountain smoking. And when the people saw it, they removed and stood afar off. And they said unto Moses, Speak thou with us, and we will hear. But let not God speak with us, lest we die. And Moses said unto the people, Fear not. For God is come to prove you, that his fear may be before your faces, that ye sin not. And the people stood afar off, and Moses drew near unto the thick darkness where God was. And the Lord said unto Moses, Thus thou shalt say unto the children of Israel, Ye have seen that I have talked with you from heaven. Ye shall not make with me gods of silver, neither shall ye make unto you gods of gold. An altar of earth shalt thou make unto me, and shalt sacrifice thereon thy burnt offerings, and thy peace offerings, thy sheep, and thine oxen. In all places where I record my name, I will come unto thee, and I will bless thee. And if thou wilt make me an altar of stone, thou shalt not build it out of hewn stone, for if thou lift up thy tool upon it, thou hast polluted it. Neither shalt thou go up by steps unto mine altar, that thy nakedness be not discovered thereon. Brother Wade, could you pray us to the service?
Heavenly Father, we thank you this day, Lord, and we just pray fill Evangelist Justin Zong with the Holy Spirit to preach to us, help edify us, help us grow as a church, and help us lead the lost to you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Now, Exodus 20 is a famous chapter about the Ten Commandments, and I want to zoom in to one of the commandments this morning, and that's verse number 16. The Bible says in Exodus 20, verse number 16, "Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor." So the title of the sermon this morning is called Bearing False Witnesses. Bearing False Witnesses. Now, this specific commandment is often referred as don't lie, okay? Now, there's nothing wrong with that. However, bearing false witness is not exactly the same as lying, although lying can be a part of it, okay? And the wording in the Bible is specific for a reason. And the lie can be, a lie can be exaggeration, hiding truth, flattery, deception, misleading statement. But bearing false witness, you know, especially carries the idea of giving a false testimony against someone, right? The Bible says, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. That's something that actually, you know, damages another person with falsehood, slander, false accusation, misrepresentation, perjury, or spreading any claims as though they are factual. So a lie is any false statement, but bearing false witness can be much deeper than that. You know, a false witness attacks another person, you are doing that against your neighbor, it harms other people, it twists reality against another person. And some lies in the Bible did not receive civil punishment, but false witness could literally get somebody killed. Okay? Now go to James chapter 3. James chapter number 3. Point number one this morning, the power of false witnesses. The power of false witnesses. False witnesses are powerful because it can damage people or harm people. It can even kill people. And what you say with your mouth has the power to heal or to destroy. You are in James chapter 3, look at verse number 5. That's a famous passage about the tongue. Verse 5, even so, the tongue is a little member, that's a small body part, and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth, and the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. So the Bible says, your tongue, what you say with your mouth, can literally unleash hell on people, meaning destroy people. Right? Verse number 7, for every kind of beast and of birds and of serpents and of things in the sea is tame and hath been tame of mankind. The Bible says literally, you know, every animal, bird, snake has been subdued by man. But verse number 8, but the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. So the Bible is very clear. Your tongue, even though that's one of your smallest body parts, it can unleash destruction on people. It can destroy people, burn people, symbolically speaking. That's why, you know, I disagree with the idea that people say that, you know, just because it's true, you can say however you want. You know, the Bible says, you know, a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in pictures of silver. That means you can say something that's true, but it's not fitly spoken, okay? So what you say with your mouth can, you know, have a huge impact on people's lives. Turn the Bible to Deuteronomy chapter number 19. Let me show you how serious God is toward false witnesses. You are in Deuteronomy 19, look at verse number 15. The Bible says this, one witness shall not rise up against a man for any iniquity or for any sin, in any sin that he sinneth, at the mouth of two witnesses or at the mouth of three witnesses shall the matter be established. Notice the Bible does not say two or three witnesses equal conviction. Two or three witnesses establishes the fact, you know, establishes the matter to be investigated. Otherwise, you can get two or three people that, you know, agree with you and falsely accuse anyone, right? So let's keep reading. Verse number 16. If a false witness rise up against any man to testify against him that which is wrong, then both the man between whom the controversy is shall stand before the Lord, before the priests and the judges, which shall be in those days. And the judges shall make diligent inquisition. And behold, if the witness is be a false witness and have testified falsely against his brother, then shall he do unto him as he had thought to have done unto his brother. So shalt thou put the evil away from among the people. Notice the Bible says the false witness is evil. Yeah. That we should put the evil away from among you. So the Bible says if you falsely accuse someone of committing certain crimes, and if you are found to be a false witness, then the punishment intended for the other person would fall on the false witness instead. For example, if you falsely accuse someone for being a thief, you will be required to pay back double or more. If you falsely accuse someone for kidnapping or murder, you will be put to death. Sounds like, you know, God takes false witnesses pretty seriously, right? Look at verse number 20. And those which remain shall hear and fear, and shall henceforth commit no more any such evil among you, and thine eye shall not pity, but life shall go for life, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, foot for foot. So a false witness that tells lies is evil. And when false witnesses are being punished, you should not feel bad. You should allow the justice to be carried out, okay? Because God, you know, takes someone who's bearing false witness pretty seriously. Go to Proverbs chapter 6. Proverbs chapter number 6. Look at verse number 16. Proverbs 6, verse 16. The Bible says this. These six things that the Lord hate. So then the Bible is in the list. Six things that God hates, that God despises. Yea, seven are an abomination unto him. A proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked imaginations, feet that be swift in running to mischief. Don't miss verse number 19. A false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among brethren. So if you believe the Bible says in verse 19 that God hates people that speak lies. And I believe this verse. God hates people that speak lies. And I don't think it's a coincidence that the Bible lumps someone who speaks lies with someone who sows discord among the brethren, because people usually sow discord with lies, right? With half-truth and with false accusations. And a false witness is powerful in that it can literally destroy people's relationship or even their lives. That's why God hates false witnesses. Go to Proverbs chapter 12. Proverbs chapter 12. Let's look at some verses in Proverbs about lying and false witnesses. Proverbs 12, look at verse number 17. The Bible says, he that speaketh truth showeth forth righteousness, but a false witness deceit. Notice, a false witness is not just mistaken. He is deceptive, right? A false witness is purposeful in twisting people's narrative, in twisting people's perception, just to harm others. They are bearing with false witness against their neighbor. Verse 18, There is that speaketh like the piercings of a sword, but the tongue of the wise is health. So false witnesses pierce people and harm people like a sword, but the wise and the truthful person provides healing and restoration. Verse 19, the lip of truth shall be established forever, but the lying tongue is but for a moment. So why is a lying tongue only for a moment? Because a lying tongue would eventually crumble. Lies will be exposed. Now, keep replacing Proverbs 12. Go to Ecclesiastes chapter 10. We will go right back to Proverbs 12, but now go to Ecclesiastes chapter number 10. Let me read to you Luke chapter number 12. For there's nothing covered that shall not be revealed, neither hid that shall not be known. Therefore, whatsoever ye have spoken in darkness shall be heard in the light, and that which ye have spoken in the ear in closets shall be proclaimed upon the housetops. So don't think you can just slander someone in private. Even if nobody hears you, you know, God has heard you, right? And God is just, and he'll punish liars and false witnesses. You are in the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 10, look at verse number 20. Verse 20, the Bible says this, curse not the king, no, not in thy thought, and curse not the rich in thy bedchamber. The Bible says don't slander someone in private, not even in your thoughts. Here's why. For a bird of the air shall carry the voice, and that which hath wings shall tell the matter. So the Bible is speaking this poetically by saying, hey, no matter how private that you think your lies are, it will eventually be exposed, right? Someone will carry the matter, and you know, if nobody has heard you, God has. Go back to Proverbs chapter 12. Proverbs chapter number 12. Look at verse number 20. Proverbs 12, 20 says this, deceit is in the heart of them that imagine evil, but to the counselors of peace is joy. False witnesses bring envy, bitterness, pride, and hatred, but a truthful person seek peace and joy. Verse 21, there shall no evil happen to the just, but the wicked shall be filled with mischief. Many liars eventually become trapped in their own deceptions, right? And we will see some stories and the examples in my later point, but look at verse 22. Lying lips are abomination to the Lord, but they that deal truly are his delight. So the question is simple. Will you be an abomination in the sight of God or his delight? Right? Because God hates lying, and lying lips are an abomination. Go to Proverbs chapter 14. Proverbs 14. That's why, you know, I can't stand people who think that lying is no big deal. They would say, hey, that's just a little lie. You know, I haven't committed any big sins. You know, I only told some smaller little lies. But apparently God hates it. Yeah. Right? So stop thinking that lying is just a small sin. It's enough to send you to hell. Yeah. Of course, a little lie is not the same as killing someone, but a sin is a sin, and we should make sin exceedingly sinful. Yeah. Amen? You know, the Bible says if you make it a lie, you will not be part of the New Jerusalem. You'll be, you know, excluded from heaven. One lie. You know, so it's pretty serious. You are in Proverbs 14. Look at verse number 5. Proverbs 14, 5. The Bible says, a faithful witness will not lie, but a false witness will utter lies. Go to Proverbs 19. Proverbs 19. Here's the consequence of being a false witness. Proverbs 19. Look at verse number 5. The Bible says, a false witness shall not be unpunished, and he that speaketh lies shall not escape. Eventually they will be exposed. And verse number 9 says the same thing. A false witness shall not be unpunished, but he that speaketh lies shall perish. Right? They will eventually be punished by God, because God hates false witnesses. Amen. Go to Proverbs 21. Proverbs 21. Look at verse 28. Proverbs 21, verse 28. The Bible says this. A false witness shall perish, but the man that heareth speaketh constantly. So the Bible is contrasting between a false witness versus the man that heareth speaketh constantly. Now, what does that mean? The word constant means it's fixed, it's unchanged. There's no variable to it. So the Bible says that a person that hears the matter and tries to understand the matter before he speaks does not change his testimony. His words stand, his words endure, and his words remain firm, right? But a false witness, hey, they will constantly change their story. You know, their story is not firm, right? They will usually tell more lies to cover up their, you know, previous lies. Go to Proverbs 25. Proverbs 25. Look at verse 18. Proverbs 25, verse 18. The Bible says, a man that beareth false witness against his neighbor is a maul and a sword and a sharp arrow. So here the Bible compares a false witness with three weapons, right? The first weapon is a maul. I mean, a maul is a heavy wooden hammer. Basically, you know, a false witness will crush reputation, friendship, and people's lives. But then it says, you know, it's like a sword. You know, a sword is short-range personal attacking weapon, right? You know, think about someone who's close to you who would just betray you and stab you in the back with lies and slanders. But then the Bible says, you know, a false witness is a sharp arrow. You know, so if the sword is a short-range weapon and a sharp arrow can be a long-range attacking weapon, right? People who will spread gossips so others may have a false perception of you, right? Nowadays, people will use social media to unleash their like arrows, to like unleash their long-range attack, right? So here's my whole point. False witness is powerful. False witness can get people fired. Right? You know, words can split churches, destroy trust, and turn friends into enemies. A lie can hurt people. It can even kill people. Yeah. God hates it. It's an abomination. It sends people to hell. And no Christian should be involved in lies and false witnesses. Go to 1 Kings chapter 21. 1 Kings 21. So point number one, the power of false witnesses. Point number two, the types of false witnesses. The types of false witnesses. I want to show you some Bible stories about different types of false witnesses. The first type is false witness for profit. False witness for profit. 1 Kings 21, look at verse number 1. 1 Kings 21, verse 1. The Bible says, and it came to pass after these things that Naboth the Jezreelite had a vineyard which was in Jezreel, hard by the palace of Ahab, king of Samaria. And Ahab spake unto Naboth, saying, give me thy vineyard, that I may have it for a garden of herbs, because it is near unto my house, and I will give thee for it a better vineyard than it. Or, if it seem good to thee, I will give thee the worth of it in money. And Naboth said to Ahab, the Lord forbidded me that I should give the inheritance of my fathers unto thee. So here King Ahab wants Naboth's vineyard. And Naboth said, no harm, no foul. And any mature person would just move on from that, right? That's just a vineyard. There's no big deal. But look at King Ahab's reaction. Verse number 4. And Ahab came into his house heavy and displeased because of the word which Naboth the Jezreelite had spoken to him. For he had said, I will not give thee the inheritance of my fathers. And he lay him down upon his bed and turned away his face and would eat no bread. So can you imagine a grown man who is a king throwing a fit like that? You know, someone said no to, you know, giving him the vineyard, and he literally just lay on his bed and eat no food, okay? But look at verse number 5. But Jezebel, his wife, came to him and said unto him, why is thy spirit so sad that thou eatest no bread? And he said unto her, because I spake unto Naboth the Jezreelite, and said unto him, give me thy vineyard for money, or else, if it please thee, I will give thee another vineyard for it. And he answered, I will not give thee my vineyard. And Jezebel, his wife, said unto him, dost thou now govern the kingdom of Israel? Arise and eat bread, and let thine heart be merry. I will give thee the vineyard of Naboth the Jezreelite. So she wrote letters in Ahab's name, and sealed them with his seal, and sent the letters unto the elders and to the nobles that were in his city, dwelling with Naboth. And she wrote in the letters, saying, proclaim a fast, and set Naboth on high among the people, and set two men, sons of Belial, those are the children of the devil, before him, to bear witness against him, saying, thou didst blaspheme God and the king, and then carry him out, and stone him, that he may die. So, notice the story. Jezebel, you know, Ahab's wife, literally orchestrated two false witnesses just to accuse Naboth of blaspheming against God. And long story short, Naboth died due to those false witnesses. Now, we can learn so many lessons from this story, but the obvious lesson is just because you have multiple witnesses that agree with each other does not equal conviction. Agreeing witnesses don't equal conviction, because you can get any two people that, you know, just like believe your side of the story and just like falsely accuse anyone, right? That's why the Bible says that we shall have diligent inquisition after you have the witnesses. And the other lesson is, you know, the Jezebel spirits in this world love lies. There's no truth in them because their father is of the devil. They, you know, they will just hear stuff that supports their wicked agenda and run with it without any verification, right? To me, it's so funny that these people only care about one-sided stories. But the primary reason I want to show you this story is sometimes people lie for profit, right? What's the main goal of Ahab? He wants the vineyard, right? Those are greedy people. Those are covetous people. And they will even twist stories, exaggerating facts, and, you know, they will even kill people just to get their personal gain. Boy, that sounds a lot like the politicians today, right? They will kill people, they will lie about people just to get gain, one more private jet, one more private island, you know, one more vineyard, you know. They will ruin people's reputation just for money. They will invent accusations for their influence. They will twist facts for their political gain. They will sacrifice truth just to advance themselves, right? These are the King Ahabs of the world. Go to Esther chapter 3. Esther chapter number 3. Let me show you another story, and it kind of falls on the same line, and that is false witness for politics. False witness for politics. Esther chapter 3, look at verse number 1. Esther 3:1. The Bible says this, Esther 3:1. After these things, did King Ahasuerus promote Haman, the son of Hammedatha the Agagite, and advanced him and set his seat above all the princes that were with him. So here, Haman was literally the second in command, just under King Ahasuerus. Look at verse number 8, Ezra 3:8. And Haman said unto King Ahasuerus, there is a certain people scattered abroad and dispersed among the people in all the provinces of thy kingdom, and their laws are diverse from all people, neither keep they the king's laws. Therefore, it is not the king's profit to suffer them. So Haman, in this chapter, is bearing false witness against the Jews. Okay? Now, I know we don't like the Jews. But just because you don't like someone does not give us the right to lie about them. In addition, the Jews at that time, they were God's chosen people. Okay? Now, for some reason, there's an idea that, you know, it's not okay to rail against someone you like, but somehow permissible to rail and slander someone you don't like. Now, the Bible does not teach relative morality, folks. You know, a lie is a lie, right? My standard is based on truth. If you rebuke any, say, pastor, you will be called out and you will be confronted. If you rail and make accusation against anyone, you will be confronted. Hey, if you rail against the devil, you might get kicked out. Okay? Because a rail is a rail, a slander is a slander. It doesn't matter who that person is. So, Haman lied about them not keeping the king's laws. Haman was pitching the Jews against the king. Look at verse number 9, Esther 3:9. If it please the king, let it be written that they may be destroyed, and I will pay 10,000 talents of silver to the hands of those that have the charge of the business to bring it into the king's treasuries. So notice, false witnesses, they often use stereotypes. Broad accusations, selective facts, and they would manipulate people emotionally. But, you know, here's the problem. Haman only has issue with one person, Mordecai, right? Yet Haman slandered an entire people group. So Haman took selective claims and twisted the narratives and portrayed all the Jews as dangerous people, right? And just like people nowadays, hey, they would use stereotype and just, you know, bearing false witness against the entire people group. Because Haman's issue is only with one person, Mordecai. Yet he slandered his entire people group. That's why it is false witness to say all black people are criminals and low IQ. It is bearing false witness to, you know, weaponize selective facts against a certain people group for your own political gain. She is a false witness to, you know, twist the fact and just try to wipe out the entire civilization for your political gain. Right? That's bearing false witness. Now, turn over to Genesis 39. Genesis chapter 39. So Haman has borne false witness for his political gain. He has stereotyped the entire people group. And let me give you another example of false witnesses. And that is false witness for personal revenge. For false witness for personal revenge. Genesis 39, look at verse number 1. And Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, and an Egyptian, bought him of the hands of the Ishmaelite, which had brought him down hither. Thither, and the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man, and he was in the house of his master with the Egyptian, and his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand, and Joseph found grace in his sight, and he served him, and he made him overseer over his house, and all that he had he put into his hand. So basically, you know, Potiphar made Joseph the overseer of his house. And, you know, he's, you know, essentially the second in command of his household. Look at verse number 7. And it came to pass after these things that his master's wife, that's Potiphar's wife, cast her eyes upon Joseph. And she said, lie with me. But he refused and said unto his master's wife, behold, my master wotteth not what is with me in the house. And he had committed all that he had to my hand. There is none greater in this house than I. Neither hath he kept back anything from me but thee, because thou art his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? Because committing adultery is wickedness, right? And that's a sin against God. So Joseph refused that. Look at verse number 10. And it came to pass, as she spake to Joseph day by day, that he hearkened not unto her to lie by her or to be with her. And it came to pass about this time that Joseph went into the house to do his business, and there was none of the men of the house there within. So let me just say this. It is stupid to be in a room or in a same vehicle alone with someone of the other gender who is not your spouse. I do not condone that, and I will never advise that. Verse number 12. And she called him by his garment, saying, lie with me. And he left his garment in her hand and fled, and God came out. So Joseph was right for fleeing from sin. Joseph did not just say no. He ran away from it. And that's what we should do if we are tempted, right? Just run from it. Don't even give any option. Okay? Verse number 13. And it came to pass, when she saw that he had left his garment in her hand and was fled forth, that she called unto the men of her house and spake unto them, saying, see, he hath brought in an Hebrew unto us to mock us. He came in unto me to lie with me, and I cried with a loud voice. So what's Potiphar's wife doing? Bearing false witness. She tried to make Joseph look like a rapist, right? And according to God's law, she will be killed for doing that. Here's a lesson. People oftentimes lie when they get exposed. They feel embarrassed. They feel rejected, right? Because Joseph hurts her pride. You know, Joseph uncovers their sin. So like these people resort to lies. They want revenge. Potiphar's wife tried to destroy Joseph's reputation. She wants Joseph to be, you know, condemned, punished, or maybe even put to death, right? Because she's accusing him for, you know, being a rapist. See, there are people in the world who are like Potiphar's wife. When they get exposed of their sins, they would instantly lie and make up stuff, and they would retaliate. They would try to destroy the person who exposed them. And we need to watch out for those people, because they only care about themselves, and they are full of pride, like Potiphar's wife, right? People lie for personal revenge. Go to Matthew 26. Matthew 26. Let me show you one more example of bearing false witnesses, and that is false witness for religious persecution. False witness for religious persecution. Matthew 26, look at verse 59. Matthew 26, verse 59. The Bible says, now the chief priests and elders and all the council sought false witness against Jesus to put him to death. So they purposely looking for false witness just to put Jesus Christ to death with their stupid counsel, okay? Look at verse number 60. But from now, yea, though many false witnesses came, yet found they none. At the last came two false witnesses. So, religious people can become false witnesses too. What are their agenda? To kill Jesus. And why do they want to kill Jesus? Because Jesus testified their evil deeds, right? Jesus attracted the common people because Jesus rebuked their false religion, because Jesus preached fire sermons, because Jesus threatened their influence, their power, and their reputations. See, when men love their own position more than truth, they will eventually justify false witnesses. And these leaders of, you know, those chief priests, elders, you know, these people, they hated Jesus Christ so much that they were willing to manufacture lies just to kill him. Just like nowadays, you have, you know, saved Christians who will make up lies to take out godly pastors, right? Yeah. And the Bible says in John chapter 7, verse number 7, the world cannot hate you, but me it hateth, because I testify of it that the works thereof are evil. Go to John chapter number 11. John chapter 11. John 11, look at verse 47. John 11, 47 says this. Then gathered the chief priests and the Pharisees a council. So the Bible does not have much, you know, positive things speak, about the council, right? And said, what do we for this man that doeth many miracles? If we let him thus alone, all men will believe on him, and the Romans shall come and take away both our place and nation. Notice, they are afraid that they will lose their influence. They are afraid that Jesus will take away their place and their nation. Why do the Catholics and the Orthodox, you know, lie about the Baptists? Because they don't want to lose their members. They care about their money and their fancy cathedrals and their, you know, $1,000 baptism fees, you know, or a $500 divorce fee. You know, I mean, it's literally on their official website. It's crazy, right? See, the religious people would take what you said out of context and use it against you, right? And you guys should be familiar with that, especially during the protest. You know the faith leaders and the media, they will say things like, "Hey, he said we should go out and kill all the homos." I never said that. You know, he said we should beat our wives. I've never said that. See, the media, like the chief priests and the Pharisees with their wicked counsel, like to do selective reportings. They will even twist the fact. You know, they will even exaggerate things. But think about this. If you are falsely accusing us for teaching we should go out and murder people, shouldn't you be executed? Yeah. Because they are saying that we are preaching that we should go out and just, you know, kill a bunch of criminals. That is murder. Yeah. They are accusing us for murder, and based on God's law, the media people will be put to death, right? Yeah. Because they are bearing false witness. And people do that constantly at debates. They will purposefully twist what the other person said just to advance their own point. That's bearing false witness, right? Go to Acts chapter 6. Just like people think that, you know, if you believe the Bible is eternal, then you're a Muslim. Hey, that's bearing false witness. Yep. That is purposefully twisting fact just to advance their own point. Acts chapter 6, look at verse number 8. Acts chapter 6, verse number 8. The Bible says, "And Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people. Then there arose certain of the synagogue, which is called the synagogue of the Libertines, and Cyrenians, and Alexandrians, and of them of Cilicia, and of Asia, disputing with Stephen. And they were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spake." So those people, they got convicted by Stephen's preaching. So if they were sincere people, they would just get right and take heed. But notice what they did. Look at verse number 11. "Then they suborned men," meaning they bribed men, "which said, we have heard him speak blasphemous words against Moses and against God. And they stirred up the people and the elders and the scribes and came upon him and caught him and brought him to the council." So another bad council, right? "And set up false witnesses, which said, this man ceases not to speak blasphemous words against his holy place, against the holy place and the law." So notice, that's the same strategy. Taking things out of context, making things up that's not even there. Right? Because they could not handle the preaching, even though that's true. That's why they falsely accuse him for blasphemy. For blasphemy against God. Okay? And Christians can fall into this too. And not just the unsaved heretics. When they hear the preacher preaching against their sins, they will get bitter, and their pride, you know, gets hold of them, so that they would literally retaliate and persecute the preacher. You know, Apostle Paul said in Galatians 4:16, "Am I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth?" Right? And when we hear, you know, preaching that's geared toward, you know, us, we should take heed, right? We should be humble and not get bitter about it. Or they are envious about other Christians for being successful in their Christian life, so like they will make up lies and slander against them out of envy. And some Christians, they don't go soul winning at all, or have terrible gospel presentations, so they are envious of our soul winning numbers. So they make up lies trying to doubt our salvation numbers. Right? That's bearing false witness. They are twisting facts. go to Genesis 12. Genesis chapter number 12. So I said point number one, the power of false witnesses. Point number two, the types of false witnesses. Point number three, the practices of false witnesses. The practices of false witnesses. I'm going to give you some practical applications because we practice false witnesses a lot in our daily life. And many times we are simply oblivious to them. And the obvious practices can be lying, you know, lying in court, right? False accusations, slanders, making up fake stories, manipulating different narratives, or people will use the statements that are technically true. You know, examples can be selective storytelling, leaving things out of context on purpose. Or just exaggerate things or playing with people's emotion. That's also bearing false witness. You are in Genesis 12. Look at verse number 10. Genesis 12:10 says this, "And there was a famine in the land, and Abram went down into Egypt to sojourn there, for the famine was grievous in the land. And it came to pass, when he was come near to enter into Egypt, that he said unto Sarai his wife, Behold now, I know that thou art a fair woman to look upon. Therefore it shall come to pass, when the Egyptians shall see thee, that they shall say, This is his wife, and they will kill me, but they will save thee alive. Say, I pray thee, thou art my sister, that I may be well with me for thy sake, and my soul shall live because of thee." Notice in the story, Abraham wanted his wife Sarah to tell the Egyptians that she was his sister and not his wife. Now, technically, Sarah was Abraham's half-sister. So, even though that was a true statement, Abraham's intention was to conceal the full truth. His intention is to mislead the Egyptians into believing that Sarah was not married. That, you know, Abraham was merely a brother instead of a husband. And that's important to remember because false witness and lies are not always outright fabricated statement. Sometimes deception can work through half-truth, right? Selective truth, omission of the truth, and misleading statements. And people often defend themselves by saying, I technically did not lie. But biblically, intentionally misleading people is still bearing false witness. Look at verse number 14. "And it came to pass that when Abram was coming to Egypt, the Egyptians beheld the woman, that she was very fair. The princes also of Pharaoh saw her and commended her before Pharaoh, and the woman was taken into Pharaoh's house." So Abraham thought that the lie would save his own life, but it caused Sarah to be taken in Pharaoh's house, right? Pharaoh thought she was single. Abraham, in an attempt to save his own skin, putting Sarah in danger. Look at verse number 16. "And he entreated Abram well for her sake, and he had sheep and oxen and he asses and menservants and maidservants and she asses and camels. And the Lord plagued Pharaoh and his house with great plagues because of Sarai, Abram's wife. And Pharaoh called Abram and said, What is this that thou hast done to me? Why didst thou not tell me that she was thy wife? Why sayest thou, She is my sister, so I might have taken her to me to wife? Now therefore, behold thy wife, take her and go thy way." To me, it's such a bad testimony when a heathen has better standards than Christians. So Pharaoh was like, you should just have told me the truth. Why are you deceiving me like that for this half-truth, right? Even though that's technically true, but that's still bearing false witness. And just think about how bad of a testimony this is. The man of God is being corrected by a pagan ruler over honesty. Mm-hmm. See, Christians should be known for truthfulness, integrity, and honesty, right? You know, Abraham, you know, had a terrible testimony here. So I do want to address, you know, another issue that's on the same line, and that's, you know, undercover and sting operations, okay? Down by the police and the military. And we need to view everything in light of the Bible.
And just because something yields good results does not automatically make the method right. The end never justifies the means. So if you disagree with me, whatever, okay? So the Bible is clear that bearing false witness is a sin. Now, I don't think an undercover operation is automatically sinful. Because an undercover operation, the officer pretending to buy drugs is not really bearing false witness. It's not really bearing false witness because he's not falsely accusing someone else. And then the Bible has a story about the spies. However, there are situations where this can definitely cross into sinful deception or false witness, such as fabricating evidences, right? Coercing false confessions, knowingly lying in your statement just to get probable cause, right? Framing innocent people. Malicious prosecution or hiding evidence, right? Or changing the fact just to secure convictions. For example, it is bearing false witness to plant evidence so you can search someone's home or vehicle. It is bearing false witness when you lie in a police report to create probable cause. It is false witness when you coach witnesses to remember events differently. It is bearing false witness when you are editing or clipping video evidences deceptively just to make someone appear guilty, right? There's a difference between investigating actual crimes versus fabricating accusations, okay? And we need to avoid half-truths that mislead people, right? That's the whole point of, you know, not bearing false witness. And nowadays, people have more creative ways to bear false witness. Like creating fake screenshots, editing audios, videos, messages, especially with AI. You know, AI can be so convincing that you think the video is real, but it's turned out to be fake, right? You know, people, you know, that's fabricating evidence. That's misleading people. Or insurance fraud by, you know, inventing or blowing the claim up against another person. Lying on your tax return. See, some of you may joke about these things, but God hates it, right? Children lying about their siblings just to get them punished. That's bearing false witness. Employees blaming coworkers for the mistakes they themselves made. Again, that's bearing false witness. Pretending someone threatened you so you can justify attacking them first. That sounds like 9/11. Pretending someone threatened you so you can justify attacking them first. That's bearing false witness. Knowingly making false claims to the to ICE, immigration, to the court, just to get a green card or citizenship, like fake marriages, right? That's bearing false witness. Politicians knowingly spread false narratives just to destroy their opponents. That's bearing false witness. Media outlets reporting accusations as facts without any verification. By the way, they do that all the time. You know, they will just report accusation as fact. And we, you know, also need to be careful not to be involved in other people's false witnesses. What do I mean by that? When you repost or share or like something online, especially a post against someone else, make sure you are operating off of verified information. Because if you spread a lie, promote a false accusation, or help circulate slander, you are becoming a partaker in someone else's sin. Okay? And social media has made it so easy to bear false witness or to spread false witnesses because people see a clip, a screenshot, maybe a headline or an accusation, and they will immediately spread it to thousands of people without verifying anything. You know, I don't care if the post is against someone you don't like. Your standard should be fair for everyone, okay? So I'm talking about the practices of false witnesses. What about this one? Some parents love lying to their own kids. You say, that never happens. Well, I've seen parents who don't want their kids to eat ice cream and say, it's spicy. That's bearing false witness, folks. It's an abomination. Hey, you know, people only laugh about it, but you know, that is a lie. And don't tell me that's an innocent little lie. A lie is a lie. God hates it. Stop doing that. Amen. Ice cream is not spicy. Don't lie to your kids. And, you know, you can simply tell them, hey, you cannot have it, right? Why lie about that? Or, like, you don't want your kids to watch cartoon and tell them, hey, the TV is broken. Hey, that's a lie. Why can't you just tell them, hey, no more TV today. No more video today, right? Or you want your kids to eat broccoli. And then you lie about it. And then you lie about it and say, broccoli tastes just like candy. Hey, that's bearing false witness. And you know, you might think that's a little lie, but I tell you, it is an abomination. Why can't you just tell them, hey, broccolis are healthy for you, I want you to eat some, and if they say no, give them a spanking. Amen. Why lie about that, right? And you should never teach your children that lying is a useful tool. Right. And Christians ought to value truthfulness even in small things. Don't lie about the ice cream being spicy, broccoli tastes like candy, okay? Tell them the truth. And, you know, people do that in marriages too. The wife would ask her husband, honey, how's my dress? You don't want to offend her, so you lie about it being pretty, even though it's actually really ugly. That's bearing false witness, folks. You know, that's a lie. And I feel that the society has pressured men to lie about their wife's clothing and other stuff. You know what? That is wicked. That's bearing false witness. And wives should not want, you know, their husband to flatter you to the point of bearing false witness. You know, I tell my wife honestly when she asks me how she looks. You know, I would tell her I don't like the color of your dress. You know, I will tell her, hey, this dress makes you look like an old woman. Because I love truth. You know, I would tell her if I didn't notice her dress when I truly did not. Because if your wife asks you, hey, how do you like my dress at church today, and you did not notice, and then you told her, yes, I like it, you have lied. Amen. That's bearing false witness. And some husbands think there are only two choices, lie or start World War III. But wisdom knows how to speak truth graciously, right? So instead of lying, maybe say things like this. I think the other dress looked better on you. This one sucks. I like the other one better. Just say the truth. Don't lie, right? And wives, hey, stop asking your husband's cast 22 questions. Questions where the husbands feel like, hey, you know, if I answer honestly, I'm in trouble. And if I lie, I'm in trouble too. Right? You should not pressure your spouse into lying, into bearing false witness. See, a healthy marriage should be a place where people can speak honestly without fear. Yeah. Don't create an environment where your spouse feels pressure to flatter instead of speak truthfully. And sometimes people pressure others into dishonesty because they only want assurance, not truth. Yeah. But ultimately, Christians should strive for truthful communications mixed with grace, wisdom, and kindness. Okay? So if you don't notice your wife's dress, just say, hey, I didn't notice that. Don't lie about it, okay? You know, if you don't like her dress, just tell her, I don't like this dress. So do not lie about anything, right? What about doing soul winning? It will only take 5 minutes, and then you spend 15 minutes. That's bearing false witness. I don't like that. I think that's giving Christians a bad testimony. You know, I like to say, you know, it will probably take a few minutes, maybe 10 to 15 minutes. So I use the word probably, a few, maybe, just to, you know, just so I don't conform myself into a set standard I might break. Okay? And some of you like saying this. I don't mean to steal you from your church. But do you realize that in most cases that is a lie? What if they go to a Catholic church or Pentecostal church or a Mormon church? You do want to take them from their church. What if they go to a church that believes right on the gospel, but they don't go soul winning? Hey, go to our church, right? What if they go to a church that believes right and they don't kick people out? No, go to our church, right? Do not lie, okay? And you need to be careful what you tell people. Okay, do not conform yourself into a standard that you might break. Turn to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians 4. So I said number one, the power of false witnesses. Point number two, the types of false witnesses. Point number three, the practices of false witnesses. Now, obviously, I can give you way more examples in the Bible, like, you know, Ananias and Sapphira lied to the Holy Ghost and they got killed, and Peter denied Christ three times, and that's clearly wrong. And, you know, but if you take nothing away from the sermon, take away this. Lying is a wicked sin. It is an abomination. Stop making excuses and joking about little lies. Because a little leaven leavens the whole lump. If you just tell little lies like, hey, you know, kids, the ice cream is spicy, eventually they'll get used to the little lies, and then they will turn to bigger lies. Okay? And just remember, Satan is the father of lies. Amen. So why do you want to do something that is satanic?
Right?
The Bible says, you know, there's, you know, he abode not in the truth, but because there's no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speak of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And Satan is also the accuser of our brethren. So why are you falsely accusing your own brethren, like many ex-fundies are doing? Okay? Because it's clearly satanic. You are in Ephesians chapter 4, look at verse 25. Ephesians 4:25 says this. Wherefore putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. So verify before you say things, and be willing to say, I am wrong. Because sometimes when people at the door don't have time, hey, I will tell them, let me just show you one verse. You know, and I try to make myself only show them one verse. Maybe I will quote other verse or maybe giving them a summary, but I if I tell them I'll show you one verse, I will show them one verse. Maybe, you know, if you want to show them more verse, hey, you know, I'm sorry, you know, I meant a couple verses, okay? Value truthfulness, okay? And, you know, do not assume motives, do not weaponize stories, and do not edit truth just to promote a certain point, and don't rush to judgment. And lastly, just want to leave you with this statement. Truthfulness is not just avoiding lies. Truthfulness is refusing to harm people with dishonest words. Ultimately, the Bible is the truth, right? Jesus is the truth, so let's embrace what is true. So let's close in a word of prayer. Thank you, Lord, for your word, and thank you for giving me this sermon. Well, I pray that this church will value truthfulness and will abhor lies, and help us realize that lies are abomination, that you hate it, and just help us speak truthfully to each other. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
All right. Amen. With that, we're going to sing song 369. I know the Bible is true. Song 369. In your hymn books. Song 369. On the first. I know the Bible was sent from God, the old as well as the new, inspired and holy the living word. I know the Bible is true. I know the Bible is true. Divinely inspired the whole way through. I know the Bible is true. I know the story of Christ is true. His virgin glorious birth, his life, his death, and the open tomb, and his return to the earth. I know the Bible is true. Divinely inspired the whole way through. I know the Bible is true. I know the Bible is wholly true. For peace it gave me within. It finds me, comforts me day by day, and gives me victory o'er sin. I know the Bible is true, divinely inspired the whole way through. I know the Bible is true, though foes deny with the spirit bold, the message old but still new. Its truth is sweeter each time 'tis told. I know the Bible is true. I know the Bible is true, divinely inspired the whole way through. I know the Bible is true. All right, amen. Brother Landon, can you please close out with a word of prayer? Amen. You are